Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Patrick Burke, the managing partner of Burke and Schindler PLL and Concentric Wealth Management. Passionate about helping entrepreneurs start, grow, manage, and build valuable businesses, he has advised more than 200 successful startups and is an expert across multiple disciplines, including mergers and acquisitions, business financing, and deal structuring. His new book is The 10 Biggest Business Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. And Mr. Burke, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, sir, and thanks for your time. Looking forward to hearing from you. So for starters, and this may be a bad question, don't take offense, but what actually qualifies you to write this book, The 10 Biggest Business Mistakes and How to Avoid Them?
Well, I guess a couple things. As you mentioned, I have worked with over 200 startups, and most of them, I would say, are still around and doing pretty well, so that's good. Number two, I have... Not only am I a CPA and a lawyer and in the money management business, but I've also started a number of other businesses, and some successfully and others not successfully. So I've made most of these 10 mistakes myself, and I think I look at business mostly like a weekend golf. You know, it's not the best player necessarily, but it's the one that makes the fewest mistakes. Since nobody's, if you were really good at that, you'd be on the tour, right? So you just want to manage the course and manage your game. And frankly, most people don't do that. They sort of wallow in and do things haphazardly, and as a result, the result isn't what they expected, I would say.
Well, certainly you can learn from mistakes, and if you have been a victim to these mistakes mentioned in your books, you certainly do have the right to share and how to avoid those big mistakes right there in regards to business. Now, another question, who should actually read the book? Who is it best for?
Well, great question. Number one, if you're thinking about starting a business or buying a business or going into business with a partner, this is definitely a book you should read. And if you're in a business and you're sort of at some sort of inflection point where you're thinking about selling, or you sort of hit some sort of ceiling here and you're kind of confused as to why. And, you know, I heard recently that, you know, most businesses should really sell in around their 40th month. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily concur with that, but I think what happens in the 40th month is probably the business has gone from a personality cult that was associated with the founder or founders, and now there's, you know, 20, 30 people in there, and the 21st person wasn't part of the cult. I'm going to use that word in a pejorative way, but they don't really understand what it is they're supposed to be doing, and the business sort of begins to has peaked and starts to level off. So I think those are sort of the two points where people in that, if you're in either one of those modes, this would be a great book for you.
Now, what would you say is a business owner's most common impediment to success? Talk to us about that.
Well, number one, I'd say it's find a business that you add a specific value to. I think too often people, you know, whether it's, and if you think about it, the restaurant business is a great example. Hey, I love restaurants, so I'm going to start one. And then it's like, you know, I love theme parks too, but people don't necessarily want to start a theme park. So if you don't have a particular affinity for the business and a particular skill, don't get involved. You know, I look at business as a three-legged stool. There's production and sales, those two stools, two legs, and the third stool would be administration. And the most successful entrepreneurs that I've dealt with are usually quite good at production and or sales. Being a good administrator is generally not necessarily a recipe for success unless you're planning on being associated with, say, a franchise, and you know, they've already created the sustainable advantages and they've got the process and the metrics, then it's like, well, I can follow the recipe. I may not be a chef, but I can follow a recipe. That's fine. And I think franchises certainly, I've got many clients that are very successful running those that wouldn't be particularly good at production or sales.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense there, and really do appreciate your input there today. We're speaking with Patrick Burke. He is the managing partner of Burke & Schindler PLL and Concentric Wealth Management. He's also the author of his new book, The 10 Biggest Business Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, looking at entrepreneurship, Mr. Burke, what do you think about this? Are entrepreneurs born or are they made?
Well, this is I'm hedging my bet, and I'm going to say both. Now, I would say up until the last 10 years, I would have said born, because most of the entrepreneurs I've dealt with, were sort of the kind of people that were, sold class rings and, sold ponchos at football games when it rained in college and those sorts of things, and just sort of had it in their blood. They weren't good employees. They thought they had a better way to do it. They had an abundance of energy. They understood risk. They understood the need to deal with, clients and people, and they were good at it. So that was sort of my initial experience with entrepreneurs, was that group. And I would have said born without any hesitation. However, as the economies become more gig-oriented and, frankly, multinationals and large local companies have sort of, people reach a certain age and they're making a little too much money. And to be honest, the companies say, hey, we need to go younger and cheaper. So you have people that are being thrust into the marketplace at, say, age 50, and their employment prospects, because of perhaps their not only their age, but sort of lack of being tech savvy, they're left with a situation where, hey, I've got some money, probably not enough to not work the rest of my life, but I got enough money to maybe start a business, and they do. So I call that group the reluctant entrepreneur, and I've got a number of those now, and I would say they have been good at running businesses. They've not been particularly good at growing them because they're not natural risk, they're risk assessors, but they're not risk takers, if that makes sense.
It certainly does, and I really appreciate your assessment on entrepreneurs being born or made, and I like that response, and I totally agree with you as well. What is the most common obstacle for a would-be entrepreneur? What is your thought on that?
Well, separate and apart from what skill do I have that's valuable and saleable, I think the next biggest problem is having the gumption to go it alone. And actually, I just got off a phone call with a client of mine who's been very successful, and he's got an opportunity for an acquisition. And he's like, hey, look, this is too big. I want a partner. It's really not too big, but if that's how you feel about it, then that's how you feel about it. And he's been in successful partnerships before. But by and large, what I find is that people, even though entrepreneurs are, what I would consider, lone wolves for the most part, when it comes to, buying the business, suddenly they want to hunt in a pack, and it just doesn't usually work because, the person who they have chosen is maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a financial partner. But what I tell people is the gold standard for a partner is a partner has to have a skill that is both essential to the business, and it's a skill that's so unique that it can only be acquired for, equity in the deal. And if the skill doesn't pass that test, then go ahead and dig deeper in your pocket and hire somebody with a skill. Don't make them a partner in your business, because I presided over so many unnecessary business divorces, I couldn't count them.
Good information on that topic and appreciated. Now, must you be able to eat risk for breakfast to be a successful business owner?
I kid about that all the time. Not necessarily. I mean, I've got business. I find that successful entrepreneurs, you know, they feel like they're playing with a stacked deck, right? They think they're talented. They think they're smart. They think they understand the business. So, you know, if you ask them if that was a risky undertaking, they'd say, you know, not really. And you know, just had a conversation with a client of mine who's an advertising agency, and he's found a really cool product, and it's already gotten started, and it's like, okay, you know, he wants to start a whole new business, and it's, you know, he's been in business on his own. Actually, I helped him get out of a fractious partnership, you know, 10 years ago. So, you know, you can run a successful business, but there's usually, as we discussed earlier, there comes a point where you kind of need to double down and, pardon me, if you're not good at assessing risk and you're not good at having the confidence that you really don't think it's a risk or you think the risk is significantly minimized because of your skill set, you know, I think it's hard to really grow that into what I would call, you know, a valuable and saleable business. I mean, a lot of businesses are lifestyle businesses insofar as they provide an income for the owner, but it, you know, query whether or not that's creating value that's transferable to, you know, either a child or to a new buyer. And oftentimes, if you haven't sort of built the infrastructure around your idea, it really can't be sold or passed down. And of course, building the infrastructure is more money, more time, more risk. So, you know, it's sad how many businesses, when the founder decides to hang it up, they either just take the shingle down, or if they, as I say, either somebody or nobody is going to own this business one day. But it, let's hope it's somebody and not nobody. If you die unexpectedly and you've created no infrastructure, then it's just going to shut down. So one has to be very wary of that.
Very important conclusion to that response. And again, really some rich information here. Now, looking at business culture, we talk about a good bit here on the program. Is building a strong culture essential to one's success?
I really do. I think that particularly as you build the business, you know, as the business gets bigger and bigger, you know, it's going to create its own culture anyway. But I think the culture is sort of well begun, is half done. You know, if the founder is a forthright person and she's paid people properly and she's listened to employees and she's listened to her customers and understands, you know, what it takes to get ahead and has, you know, if there's been a bad Yelp review, you know, takes that head on. I think it's, you know, the old story, right? Culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it is critical. People have to want to come into work, and if it's a toxic culture and toxic bosses, and you know you end up losing talented people because it's like, hey, it's a neat product and neat place to work, but I don't like the culture here. And clearly, with the millennials, you know, that's extremely critical because that's, you know, they're extremely mobile. So, we promote that all the time with our clients, and I think it's most of our clients are first generation business owners, and they get that. The ones that aren't, you know, it's pretty simple to have that culture go through to the second generation. Into the third generation, it becomes a real challenge, and that's something they really have to concentrate on. But it's critical, no question.
Mr. Burke, as we conclude, why is a business owner's biggest strength also his or her biggest weakness?
I think that's a pretty easy one, and we've covered it extensively, and I think it's just the propensity to take outsized risk. It ends up being exhibiting itself not only in, hey, maybe you expanded too quickly, maybe you bought, I've got a number of clients in the printing business, and that equipment is, you know, $1 million pieces of equipment, and they bought it because of one big job, believing that they're going to, you know, get more and more of those, and they don't, and it's like, oh my, why did we make that, you know, seven figure? Not necessarily a mistake, but the ROI on that is just not good. So, you know, great they got into business. I think they tend to underestimate big risk, and you know, don't create hurdle rates for new capital expenditures, and it can really hurt in the long run. And the other aspect where I see it is the money that they do take out of the business, they tend to take risk with that. They're trading options or doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and that's, you know, you really can't invest around the risk associated with owning your own business, which is probably your principal asset. I mean, try to invest around it, you'd be investing in all T-bills. But you should be aware of the fact that, hey, if your company's cyclical and how it operates and its value, then maybe you should be hedging that with counter-cyclical bets in the stock market. And the tendency of the entrepreneur is, I'm going to take chances with the capital I got in my business, and I'm going to take chances with the capital I have outside my business. Not a good idea.
Mr. Burke, really appreciate your sharing your wisdom, insight, and information with us in regards to business owners. And, of course, your book is titled The 10 Biggest Business Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Who wouldn't want to tap into that? I'm sure listeners want to know how they could not only get more information on the book, how could they best pick up the book, and where could they get information on Burke and Schindler PLL?
Well, our website is burkecpa.com, A-M-B-U-R-K-E, and the book is available on Amazon, along with four other books I've written, so feel free to buy them all, right?
Why not? Absolutely, and a great idea. Again, Mr. Burke, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today, here on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. I enjoyed speaking with you.
And I did as well. Let's do it again. We've been speaking with Mr. Patrick Burke, the managing partner of Burke & Schindler PLL and Concentric Wealth Management, and author of his new book, The 10 Biggest Business Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. And for more details, visit burkecpa.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.